As you can see on the screen up here, we'll be talking about my message. It's very simple. Three letters, two words. You're thinking, how deep can this go? I am. That's my message. I am. And as I was thinking about this, we're all going through different battles this morning, different things, different problems, different issues. A lot of them are deeply internal issues. Maybe some are just aggravations, but all of us are battling something, from fear to guilt to depression to oppression to doubt to anger to shame to sin to a lot of things. We're battling different things. But I want to tell you that God is the great I am. That God is able to bring into your life today what you need. That doesn't matter what you're facing or what you're battling, He has it for you. And He doesn't have it today, He'll have it tomorrow what you need. And the next day what you need. And 10 o'clock tonight what you need. And 3 o'clock in the morning what you need. God is ever present and ever present help, the Bible says, in time of our trouble. And He is what you need Him to be. Whatever season you're in right now, God is there to be that source and to be that hope for what you're battling. It may look impossible today, but as we open up with, all things are possible. And I believe that, church, we serve a God that is bigger than anything you can put before Him. There is no situation that stands in front of God that He says, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. There's no enemy that God measures as bigger than another. We do that. We measure our enemies and we measure our obstacles, but God doesn't, because they're all under His feet. All problems are under God's feet. All giants are under His feet. All things are under His feet. There's nothing that outweighs or outheights or outwits our God. Nothing is bigger. The world spins because He tells it to spin. The sun stays there because God says, stay there, sun. The stars light the sky because God put them there. And nothing that man can do can change the word of a living God. It is done. It is established. It is complete. There is nothing we can do to alter it. Now, we cannot believe it, but does it mean it's not true? I can tell everyone of you right now, this carpet is bright orange. Now, how many here think it's orange? I will administer a drug test directly after this service, Doc. If you see orange, you're either blind or you're high. What color is this carpet? Blue. So if I say, I don't think it's blue. And some of us are like that about everything. God didn't make that. God didn't do that. God didn't do that. God didn't do that. God didn't do that. All right, whatever. That carpet's orange. No, it ain't patterned blue. I say it's orange. I mean, we can say all we want. Now, if Stacy lay down on the floor, it'd be partly orange. But it's blue. That's what we see is blue. So just because we deny God ain't real, God isn't true, God ain't going to help me, God don't listen, God don't care, God don't love, God didn't live, God didn't die, God didn't raise, that don't mean it ain't true. So go on not believing. But as for me and my house, as Joshua says, we're going to serve the Lord. As the two spies that went to the land to spy it out, remember what happened? 10 of them went out and 8 of them come back. Oh, they're big. We can't handle them, man. We're like little people, and they're like big old giants. And you know, we're like little grasshoppers. We can't take that land. But no, 2 of them had a great report. 2 of them come back and said, I don't see what you're seeing. What are you looking at? I'm looking at them. Well, I'm looking at Him. It don't matter what you're looking at. I'm looking at God. And I say we go now and possess the land and take it right now. They had a whole different vision because their vision was upon God, not upon themselves, and not upon man, and not upon what man says. There's a lot of problems bigger than us. We understand that. You get a medical diagnosis, that's very discouraging. You know, you lose your house, very discouraging. You lose your job, very discouraging. Lose your car, very discouraging. Lose your wife, very discouraging. There's a lot of things that can happen that are very discouraging in your life. But God is bigger than all those things. And God is stronger than all those things. And God is still God, whether people believe He is or not. It's not going to change the fact He's not real because you say He's not. He's still the great I am. Let's start some scriptures right here in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Moses said to God, now this is what happened here. He had a great experience of the burning bush. This is when God was speaking to Moses, calling him to be the leader and deliverer of the Israelites. So he's out here in this desert. All of a sudden, this bush catches fire. He knows it's on fire. Then he hears a voice calling out of it, which is really, you know, wow. Okay, I'm seeing a bush burning, but it's not burning up. And I hear a voice coming out. What is this? It's God. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me. unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Now Moses had just gotten instructions from God to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let his people go. Let all the Israelites go. That's your job. He says, well, before I can do that, God, I got to tell, you know, the people who told me this. So who do I say told me this instructions? God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Man, that makes no sense to our natural mind, does it? If you call Pizza Hut and order a pizza, and they say, can I get a name, please? I am. You are what? That's my name. Okay, you are what? You're a Jack, you're a John, you're a David, or what are you? I am. Okay. Can I get a phone number? I am. Okay. You want me to put that on a ticket? I am. Put I am. Can you imagine the talk that when I walk in to pick up my pizza, can I get you? I am. Oh, hey, boy, that's the I am. That's the I am. Man, what do you mean you are? I am what? I am hungry. That's what I am. So God can be anything we want him to be. And what he was saying is, this is really the revelation of this. I am whatever you need me to be. I am your deliverer if that needs to be. I am your healer if you need me to be. I am your provider. I am your protector. I am your redeemer. I am your Messiah. I am your counselor. I am everything you possibly need me to be. There's nothing God can't be because God is everything and God is all things. And man, that's hard to wrap around. We go from place to place trying to get our fix, trying to find, I need my joy here, I can get a little piece of happiness here, a little piece here, if I can get this part of my life in order, this part of my life in order, and God's got it all right here in his arms. He's got it all. We go one, Jesus is the Walmart of the New Testament. One stop shopping. He's got everything that we need. Where else can you go and get tires for your car, Beanie Winnies for your belly, Band-Aids for your cuts, dog food for your pet? Where else can you get all these under one roof? Where else can we go and get all of our needs met? The Lord has what we need. There's no other place we need to be going. He's got everything, period. He is the I am. And so whatever you need him to be right now, this moment, this morning, he can be in your life. And the great thing about God is, whatever season we're going through, you may need something this morning, need something different tomorrow, need something different the next day. He becomes all that in your life. Whatever you need him to be. Think about our seasons we go through. There's times we need God to be a healer in our lives, physical healer. There's times we need to be a savior. There's times we need to be reminded of his love. There's times we just want a touch of his Holy Spirit. God, I need to feel your spirit again. I've been kind of cold. I've been distant. I need you to be that great comforter again in my life. And there he does. He shows up. You wake up so discouraged you can't get out of bed. I mean, you are so oppressed by the enemy, you don't even want to rise out of bed. Nothing to live for. When you call upon the great I am, he comes to where you lie and comes into your life and takes you by the hand and picks you out and says, I'm going to replace your discouragement with my joy. Because you might be in sorrow for a season, but now it's time to walk in joy. Let the sorrow be gone and the joy come back. He lifts that off of us and becomes the joy that we're seeking. Some of you are so afraid and so stressed, and you live in anxiety and fear all the time. He is the great I am that lifts that fear and that anxiety off of your life and gives you the peace that you need to live every single day. Man, how can we have peace in the world we live in? The I am. How can I have hope for a future? The I am. I mean, you want to watch the news, you won't see the I am very clearly. We don't need to hear the news. We don't need to get so focused on all the stuff that's wrong. We need to focus on what is right. I am a child of God. I'm a child of God. His royal blood flows through me. And so, though I'm in this world, I'm not of this world. And though I have to live here, I'm not part of the system of man. I'm part of the system of God. I'm not in the earth kingdom. I'm in the heavenly kingdom. I'm not part of what man tells me I am. I'm part of who God said that I am. That's who I am, a child of God, because the great I am passed my way many years ago and called my name and became that night my Savior. And then as I journeyed on, he became a lot more things in my life. He became my comforter. He became my healer. He became my provider. He provided my family, provided my jobs, provided my health. Everything comes from him. Everything comes from God. He is the great I am. So Moses has his message to go back and tell the people, I am has sent you. And I'm sure Moses understood at the time what that meant. I'm sure he understood what that meant. Okay, God, you are. And boy, he had some journey, didn't he? As he started leading those children out, God showed up pretty quick on their behalf. They got a little ways out of Egypt until they got to the Red Sea. And they said, okay, what now? And then they looked behind them. Here comes Pharaoh after them. He didn't like what he'd done, so here comes the chariots after them. Now they're trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. What do? The I Am showed up. The I Am parted that Red Sea, held that water up like a wall, created dry ground as they crossed over. Now I want you to watch this. The same great I Am that protected and saved the children of Israel was the same great I Am that destroyed the enemy. Because once the water was held up and they crossed, then he took his hand off of it and it crushed down and killed all the enemies. You saw two great I Am, two experiences of the same great I Am. He became a deliverer and he became a destroyer at the same time. The great I Am showed up on the behalf of the children of Israel. Then they journey along a little further, and you know, we know about how he provided the manna from heaven, that every morning they got up, there was food on the ground for them to pick. He became the provider. Their shoes, the Bible says, didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out, and the Bible says there wasn't one sick among them. We can't go a week without getting a cold. Are you kidding me? There's some folks you talk to every day. Every day they're sick. I'm not talking about people who are really sick. I'm talking about just, you know, people just, you know, or wimps. I mean, every day, I'm tired, I feel bad, my back goes, get your healing. Good gosh almighty. And here they are, 40 years, wasn't a sick one among them. Can you imagine? No migraines, no arthritis, you know, no flus, no fevers. God kept them. He was their healer. He was their protector. He was their guider. Remember, in the daytime they were guided by cloud and fire by night. God was their guider through that journey. And then when they got thirsty, what do you think happened? They pulled up to McDonald's and got a cup of water. No, they didn't, because there wasn't a McDonald's back in, just so y'all know that. McDonald's wasn't everywhere. So when they got thirsty, what happened? We're thirsty, Moses. We're thirsty. We're thirsty. We want some water. What are you going to do about it, Moses? Well, Moses, of course, got mad and did the wrong thing, but God did the right thing. And Moses struck that rock. Now, we've all touched rocks. We've all probably, you know, thrown rocks in a pond and a creek, and we've climbed rocks and all that. I've never hit a rock and saw water come out. Here Moses strikes a rock. Water shoots out of the rock. Now God's just showing off, ain't he? I'll tell you. I'll create water out of nothing. They kept on going. Finally, God got them, you know, there. And then what happened? They get to the land of promise. Now, it's not free. They got to fight. Here's all these cities. Go in and take them. Don't worry, I'm with you. I'm with you. Sure enough, he was. God went with them to every city. And God fought with them. God fought for them. God fought through them. And they took every city God said they would and took the land God promised them. Throughout the Bible, we see the great I Am. As David stood before Goliath, he became a great I Am in his life. Here is David standing, just an average-sized man, facing this 9-plus-foot giant, seasoned warrior, had full of armor. David probably couldn't even pick up the armor he was wearing. It was so heavy. And here is little David, a little shepherd boy. He didn't have any fighting experience, no warfare experience. He stand before Goliath, but he had something much different. He had the I Am living inside of him. And he actually said, I can't believe all of you. Now, let's picture this. Let's picture Bruce the Goliath, because he's kind of tall. He's not 9 foot, but he's kind of tall. So here's Bruce standing there, snarling at everybody. And all of you are the Israelites. I'm David. Remember, I'm always a good guy. I'm David. All of you are just scared. Ooh, I can't face him. No, he's big and he's mean. And what if he kills me and I got a family to feed? And, you know, no. And here comes little David walking along. You're afraid of this? Really? You're afraid of him? I'm not afraid. I'll fight him. Now, people probably thought he was stupid, naive, cocky, young, arrogant, but he wasn't. He stood before Goliath. He looked at him, and he says, I do not come against you with a spear and a sword. I'm not going to fight you that way. I'm going to fight you a different way. You can have the spear and the shield and a big old helmet and look at me grunt, and you can spit in my face. You can gnarl and all that. You ain't scaring me. I don't come to you with what you're fighting with. I come to you with who's in me. So I come against you in the name of the Lord. Flung that little rock, hit him right there in the forehead. We know it wasn't the rock that killed him. It was the word that killed him. And Goliath hit the ground. Then David goes over and cuts Bruce's head off. Goliath's head off. Cuts it off. Then holds it up. This is what all of y'all were afraid of? I couldn't get Carrie to help me out. She fights in court every day. She couldn't help me out. I got Buell the seasoned prayer warrior. She couldn't help me out. I got a hunter back there. Shoots a gun. He wouldn't show up and help me. None of y'all would get out. All you were afraid. Are you serious? Here's what you were afraid of. Don't you know God's for us? God's with us. God's in us. God loves us. We are God's people. We are God's children. We are God's seed. The great I am is here, and he became a deliverer today of Israel once again. And Goliath is dead. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Dun, 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 dun. Dead. Wow, what a story and what glory that was. He became the I am. Then we go to Daniel, right? We love Daniel. Story of Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. We all know it. Learned as a little kid. Daniel gets thrown into a lion's den. These were not tamed Barnabas and Bailey lions. These were wild, man-eating lions. They threw Daniel in that den to be killed. But something happened that night. God closed the mouths of the lions. The great I am showed up and did not allow Daniel to be destroyed, because Daniel was God's seed. Daniel was God's child. Daniel was under a covenant. God had plans for Daniel. So can you imagine the king the next morning as he woke up, knocked on that door, Daniel, you okay? Fear not, king. I am here and I am alive. You know what? Oh, I am rested, because I had the best pillow in the world. See you, Leo. See you, George. Give me a paw right here. See you, brother. I'm out of here. Goes back up the stairs. Then we know what happens. He gets the very men that accused Daniel. He says, okay, boys, your turn. Let's see if the great I am shows up for you. Throws them down that pit. The Bible said before they even got to the bottom of the pit, they'd done been crushed up by the lions. Once again, the great I am, the protector for Daniel, the destroyer for his enemies. He can be whatever we need him to be. We must invoke his name and believe that he's got everything in the bag for us we need him to be. Now we get in the New Testament. Go to the next scripture. Let's skip that one. Oh, no, go back if you can. I'm sorry. I do want to go back to that one. Moses said to God, behold, I come to the children of Israel and shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. Go to the next one. Sorry. And they said, I am that I am. Thou shalt say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt they say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and I like this part, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. My name forever. In other words, he's still the I am. People say, well, God don't heal that way. All that went out with the apostles, Pastor. God, he's still the I am. God don't raise the dead, and God can't do that. And that was for a sign of the times. He's a great I am. Nothing's changed. Thank you for the amen, Rodney. I appreciate that. Hallelujah. His name is the same forever. Remember what Hebrews says? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. We have completely as human beings withdrawn from the power and the Word of God because it's convenient or because we don't believe. But remember, because you don't believe don't mean it's not so. The healer still passes by, the Redeemer still lives, the grave is still empty, and He's still God. There's still a God above that sees everything and is in everything, no matter what man says. God still can raise. God can still heal cancer. God can still heal any disease. God can still restore your marriage and save your rebellion, hellion child. God is still in control. Don't ever doubt that. He says, my name's forever. I am whatever we need Him to be. And we've seen a lot of watered down teaching because, you know what? People have stopped experiencing miracles. They've stopped experiencing healings. They've stopped experiencing deliverance. They've stopped... Church, I'm telling you that God can still take a stronghold in your life, whatever it is, whatever kind of addiction, whatever kind of lust, whatever kind of stronghold has you, whether it's rebellion, whether it's fear, whether it's substance abuse, whether it's sexual addiction, whatever it is, when the I Am passes by, He's able to break those chains and set you free. God is still God. His power is still well. It's not been diluted or watered down ever. We've diluted it, not God. He's still the same. And I'm going to tell you, if we would remind ourselves of that and begin to walk that way again and believe like we used to believe, and pray like we used to pray, and speak the word like we speak the word, and lay hands on our situation like we used to. That's not old-fashioned, that's not old-dated, and that's not out of time. The Bible is clear that we speak God's word, we believe in faith, we lay hands on the sick, we believe God can do anything. The Bible is clear through the whole word that He's not changed. His name is forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. That means us, Joe Brown. The I Am that delivered the children of Israel is the same I Am that delivered us out of hell. The same I Am that brought salvation and redemption and reconciliation back to the cross through Jesus. He's still the same God. He still can heal the same, save the same, deliver the same. He walks on water. He can do anything He wants to do. He can give you visions and dreams and prophetic utterance. He can do whatever He wants to do. He's still God, and nothing has changed that. But man has stopped believing because, and I'm not trying to, you know, I talk about this. If you want just comfortable religion, there's plenty out there. But if you want conviction, you want revelation, you want to feel the Holy Spirit, you want deliverance, you want healing, it's going to take more than going through a dry sermonette and some dry old singing with no power and everybody going through a ritualistic motion. It's time we say, God, throw all that out the window. I want You. I'm here for You. I'm not here for religion. I'm not here for routine. I'm here for the Holy Spirit. You know what I need. You know what they need. You know what my friend needs. God, that's what I need. And throw it out and let God be God in your life again, and you'll see things begin to change. But we put ourselves in a box, you know, and there's so many, I mean, it's sad we've gotten this way. Because there's only one true teaching, one true doctrine, and that is Jesus Christ, buried, resurrected, and returning for the church. That's the doctrine. And we've gotten so far away from that, so far away, that we've put Him in some organized box and wonder why He doesn't move. And we wonder why we don't move. I'm just not used to that, preacher. I know, that's the problem. I don't used to raising my hands, that's a problem. I'm not used to clapping, that's a problem. The Bible says, clap ye hands, all ye people. The Bible says, lift your hands before the Lord. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto Him. There is nothing, church, I know we do in this ministry that's not scriptural. It's just, it seems so weird now because everybody stands like this in church. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. Thank you. We sit down. If you really want to sing How Great Thou Art, sing it like you mean it. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. I mean, my God, sing it like you mean it, because He is great. Man, we'll show emotion everywhere else but the house of God. We'll get out of our box. Y'all have heard this story. I know you're tired of hearing it. Oh, well. Until you change, I'm going to keep talking about it. You go to any Panthers game on Sunday, and they act like morons. I'm one of them, I know. I have no problem painting my face and coloring my hair and cheering for. I have no problem with that. They'll be good better this year. And you'll see people down there and just acting like fools. Especially get a little liquor in them down there, you know, a little alcohol. They're really acting like fools then. And man, they're dancing to the music, you know, and everybody's yelling together, and they're in unison, they're doing the wave, and they're chanting, and here we go, Panthers, here we go. Everybody knows that. Can't get y'all clapping on a song. Are you kidding me? Y'all know that clap. Yeah, but that's a game. See, I was always taught, pastor in church, to be reverent. What is reverent? Does that mean dead, quiet, dead? No. Reverent means that you are submissive and unto God. That's what reverent is. I'm submissive unto God. It don't mean you're dead. I shouldn't be walking the seats checking for a pulse on Sunday mornings. Oh, you like just checking, brother. How you seen you moving 30 minutes? I mean, my Lord, he's still the great I am. And that means that he can do whatever we need him to do in our lives. We've been to rock concerts. All of us at some point have been to some kind of rock concert or country concert in our lives. Pop concert of some sort. We're all singing. Everybody's in unison. Everybody's happy. You know, we're getting our groove on. And y'all swing your hips like you're some kind of bar, you know. Yeah. Have my boy on stage. Woo! Throw me that cowboy hat, man. Man, we ought to be out in the seats. Jesus, here I am. Throw me some mercy. Glory. God, throw me some redemption. God, here I am. Let me feel your joy and let me feel your peace because I'm in the greatest place I could ever be in the house of God. And the great I am is still here. Go to the next slide. Now, for time's sake, I don't want to go through all these scriptures, but there's seven I am statements in the book of John. And these are found from John 6 through John 15. Seven I am statements. First one, I am the bread of life. Bread of life. When we think of bread, we think of food. We think of feeling a hunger. God satisfies your hunger. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're battling, whatever you're empty for, God can fill it. I think about the woman at the well that Jesus approached. Beautiful story of a woman who was living in complete sin. A woman who had been with many men, was still living with a man, was just having all kinds of sexual relations outside the covenant of marriage, living her life for herself. She comes to the well to begin to dip some water. Jesus shows up, says, I've got water for you. I've got water that you drink of this, you'll never thirst again. Well, how? And she was still naturally thinking, Jesus, what are you talking about? I don't even have a cup to dip it with. I'm not talking about that kind of water. I'm talking about, I got something in your life you need. He said, where's your husband? Well, I have no husband. He says, you tell truth, you have no husband. You've had four or five. And he goes on to give her a prophetic word. She knew he was real. She received what Jesus had for her. She received it in her broken, sinful, rebellious state. She received what Jesus had for her. She received it, then went back to her family and shared it with them. And her family was saved by this living water because Jesus was the bread of life. You're hungry, I'll feed you. You're empty, I'll fill you. You're bankrupt, I'll make a deposit. I'll give you what you need. Second point, second I am the light of the world. For people to say, I don't know if anybody seen my Facebook status the other day. Some of you did, but I put a Facebook status on there. It talked about how many people use God's name in vain. And I put on there that you never hear anybody saying Muhammad Almighty or Science Almighty or whatever Almighty. It's always God Almighty or Jesus Christ or even a worse phrase. And when people get mad or get frustrated or just common dialogue, they use his name all the time. Yet those same people say they don't believe, but yet they use his name. Why would a person that doesn't believe use that name so much? I don't get that. When someone gets mad and they say, Jesus Christ. Yep, he's real. He ain't real. Why use his name? Don't use his name no more. Quit blaspheming your own name. Joe Brown. Dad, burn it, Joe Brown. Don't blaspheme it. I mean, really? That makes no sense. He's shown his light through creation. Through humankind, we see the light of God. We see His love through everything He's touched. Yet a world says He doesn't exist, and I don't believe that, you know, it happened this way, happened this way. It's too perfect. There's no other planet, I don't care what any dodo says, there's no other planet in our solar system that supports human life but Earth. That's a fact. I don't care how many wackos say it ain't. And how is it that people are on the only planet in a solar system that can have life, and we're here on Earth? The perfect distance for life. One planet closer, we'd burn up. One planet further, we'd freeze. We're perfectly aligned. Our Earth spins at the same speed it always has forever. The same axis, the same degree. The moon controls the tides. That's a proven fact. The moon controls the tides of the sea. The stars are innumerable. Galaxies are innumerable. Billions and billions and zillions and trillions and billions and all kinds of eons of stars and space that man ain't yet found. There are places in the depth of our ocean that man, with all of our technology, has still not been able to reach because it's too deep. There are mountain chains laid on the floor of the ocean all across the world. Full mountain chains. Imagine getting to go to the ocean to see the Appalachian Trail and the Atlantic at the same time. Pretty cool, huh? It's down there. We serve a God who created all of this. He has shown His light to the world. He is the light. The Bible says in John that the light came and the darkness could not comprehend it. The darkness could not put it out. It could not stifle. The light was stronger than darkness, and it still is. It's still stronger than darkness. Look at the third I am statement in John. I am the door of the sheep. You know what this means? The only way we become sheep is to go through the door. The only way we can become God's sheep is to go through the door. The door is Him, Jesus. The great I am is still saving all over the world. People can water down the message all they want. They can water down the doctrine all they want. They can say there's all these other ways, all these other paths. But the Bible is clear. The only path to salvation is through Jesus, through the cross. And He is the door. And He has that door wide open, calling our name. Here I am. I'm calling you. Just come. Just come. Just enter in. Because I've got what you need. Because I'm still the great I am. I love when we see lives. You know, we had last Sunday night several people give their hearts to the Lord. It was wonderful. Rodney's little girl was one of them. It was a beautiful thing. How old is Olivia? 11. We get that many kids, you kind of run together. I understand. 11 years old. Come up here to last Sunday night. Face broken. I saw her face when she walked up here. Crying out, giving her heart to Jesus. We had Larry and Chastity's little girl give her heart to Jesus. She's probably 8 or 9 maybe. Give her heart to Jesus. Crying up here, weeping. I don't think she's that old. A little younger. But we had about five or six people give their heart to Jesus Sunday night. God's still saving. God's still drawing. God can still speak to our young generation with all the junk they have to put up with. And there's some junk. Church, I'm telling you, there's some junk our young people are facing. From the schools to TV to music. They're facing junk. Nothing pure, nothing holy. Lyrics are horrible. Movies are horrible. Most shows are horrible. Most people our kids go to school with talk trash and potty mouths. And they say, well, everybody cusses. No, you don't have to cuss. No, you don't. Uh-uh. That's a stupid statement. Well, they raped a kid. I don't go rape a kid. Everybody's raping daddy. Everybody's raping mama. Everybody's raping grandpa. I mean, that don't make no sense. No. We don't follow what everybody else is doing. God's called you out of that. God's called you out of darkness into light. And we can be different through Jesus. And we should be proud to be different. And we should want to be different. We should want people to see our light so strong, we don't have to say a word. They just know you're God's child. I can just tell. You're God's child. He's still the only door into salvation. Go to the next slide. The fourth I am statement. I am the good shepherd. I love this. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd leads. Is God will ever lead you into something wrong or bad? Never. He's the good shepherd. He leads us to green pastures. He leads us to victory. He leads us to things that are good for our lives. He watches. You know what a shepherd does? It protects us. There have been a lot of wolves coming to this church that your pastor's addressed y'all don't even know about. That's my job, to watch after the body and the flock. And when I see something not right, my ears perk up like a dog when the doorbell rings. Somebody's here, ain't supposed to be here. Boop, boop. My radar goes off. Boop, 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 boop. It's my job as a shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's never going to lead us somewhere he didn't want us to go. And he's never going to lead us into a pitfall or a trap or destruction. He leads us and protects us and guides us and keeps us and watches over us all the time. Think how many times you're on the highway and God watches over you. All the times there was a close call and God kept you. All the times your kids are at school and they're at different places. And you know, Jamie's gone for 3 weeks across the country. And I just couldn't, I tried to think about it a lot because of realizing all the dangers that are out there. In perspective for someone like Jamie who embraces danger. He'll try anything. Please don't dare my son do anything. Nobody. I'm like, God, watch over him. And every day I'd pray for him. God, watch over Jamie. Watch over Jamie. I mean, he swam the Pacific Ocean. He hiked the Grand Canyon. He's climbing 1,000-foot sand dunes. You know, he's walking Hollywood streets with one of the guys by himself. That's kind of scary. All these places he was at, and I'm like, God, watch over him. Protect him. You're the shepherd. And he did watch him. Jamie told me to go over his head in the Pacific Ocean. He got too deep to go over his head. I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't know that then. God watched over him, brought him safely home. And I thank God for that. God's our shepherd. Let him lead. You stop trying to lead. We are sheep to the good shepherd. You know, we get in trouble, we try to start leading our own lives and doing it our way. We always fail. Submit to God. God, you lead. The fifth I am statement, I am the resurrection and the life. Remember when Lazarus was in the tomb and Jesus came to him, the tomb? He's already been dead 4 days. He was stinking. He was already bad. And Martha and Mary says, yeah, I know, Jesus. There'll be a resurrection day. I know he'll live again one day. He says, no, you're missing it. Not one day, this day. Right now. Well, how can that be? It's not time for the resurrection. The resurrection's here. See, the resurrection wasn't an event as much as it was a person. Jesus is the resurrection. And because he rose, we have a resurrection. And he told Lazarus to come out of that tomb, and he did. He was the life giver to Lazarus. He was the bread giver to that woman at the well. He was the healer to all the lepers and blind that came to him. He was the forgiver of the woman that committed adultery. When all of her accusers wanted to stone her, Jesus said, I forgive you. That woman didn't need an accuser that day. She had plenty of those. She needed a forgiver. And Jesus showed up and says, I'm not going to condemn you. I forgive you. Go your way. Sin no more. He became something special to her. Six, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the only way, is what she'd really say. I mean, you know, that's what he is. I'm the only way. I'm the only truth, and I'm the only life. No man come to the Father but through me. And no man can come unless the Spirit of God draws him. Jesus was the way. He still is the way for mankind. That's not changed. I don't care how smart man's got, this Bible is still relevant. We have a lot of people trying to teach a very contemporary message and trying to relate to everyday living, which is fine. We need some of that. But not at the cost of still preaching the Word of God. Church, this Word of God is still very relevant. I don't care what year we live in, this Word of God has principles. Read Proverbs, one of the great. You need counseling? Save you $100 an hour and read Proverbs. That's got everything in it you need. It tells you how to live. It talks about your money, about your family, about your children, about your health, about success, about prosperity. It's in there. Just read Proverbs. Proverbs is a wonderful book of counsel. It's still very relevant. The Bible says in Proverbs that the borrower is slave to the lender. Can I get amen on that? Is that still true? Don't we hate being in debt? We're a slave to it. We can't get away from it. We owe it, and we got to pay it, and it haunts us every day. I got this debt. I got this debt. And we just, it's a, oh, man, that's still irrelevant. a lot of things in here. All of it is still relevant. Last one, number seven, I am the true vine. These are the seven I am the true vine. This is where he's talking about I am the vine, you are the branches. We cannot live apart from the vine. You see loose branches laying on the ground. They don't live on their own. They die and wither away. They have to be attached to the trunk before they can live. Before we can live, we've got to be attached to the vine. And he is that vine. He is saying, attach yourself to me and watch what I'll do with your life. Attach yourself to me. I'll give you all the nutrients you need to live. I'll give you all the food, all the water, all the provision, all the shelter, all the protection. Just stay attached to me. The great I am can be what you need him to be right now in your life. Whatever that is. Whatever problem you're battling, whatever you're facing, don't give up. God's still there. God is still for you. And God is still real. And God still cares. And God is not some distant thing that we have to genre up through some kind of ceremonial chanting or something. He's here, living in us. You can be going in your car and call the name of Jesus and feel his presence show up. Wherever you are at, he is there. I love what the Bible says. I can go to the heights of heaven or depths of hell, to the bottom of the sea, and I can't escape his presence. We can't. Jonah learned that very quick. Jonah tried to escape God's presence and couldn't. God caught him. And he still had to do what God said. He is the great I am, church. Whatever you need him to be. Bruce, you want to come up here and play a little something on the piano? I want to give you an opportunity this morning before we close this part of this service this morning that you need the I am to show up in your life right now. You need the I am to show up for you in some way. You're carrying something. You're battling something. There's something in your life that you need help. You need hope. You need healing. You need deliverance. You need restoration. Maybe you need forgiveness. Maybe you need salvation. You're lost. Church, don't be ashamed to ever come before the Lord at the altar and kneel down and say, here I am, God. Here's what I need. You are not saved and you are not whole and you are not complete just because you come to church. It's only through our Lord Jesus you are those things. If y'all would bow your head with me just for a minute, please. And I want to open up the altar today. For those that just want to come pray, you need something from God today. And you don't want to leave here carrying it out the door. You don't want to leave here with it. You want to leave it here in the sanctuary. And you want to go free today. Whether it's salvation you need, whether it's joy, direction. You need some peace. You need some hope. You need something. Maybe it's for a loved one you're worried about, you're burdened for. And you need God to move in their lives. Whatever it is you need God to be for you today, he will be. He already is. But will you allow him to be that for you? The altar is open. If you want to come up and kneel down and just pray and say, God, here's what I need today. And just let him know what it is. I kneel before you, calling this need out of my life. This name that's in my life. This situation that's in my life. I need you to be the one to fix it and to change it because I can't change it. Just listen to the Holy Spirit today and let him lead you right now. And obey. And don't leave here the way you came in. You don't have to. You may say, I don't understand. I can just sit back here and pray, Pastor. It's not the same. This is not the same as when you come up here and just kneel before God and let him move on your behalf. Whatever you need today, let God be that I am. Sing a little something, Bruce. Thank you, Jesus. His worth, just because he lives, because he lives, I can. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, just touch these lives that's offered this morning. Lord, cover with your presence right now. for everything they are bearing, everything they are holding now. I pray it be lifted off, that they feel your Holy Spirit now come upon their flesh and begin to restore, begin to return back what they need and what they are hoping for and praying for right now. Lord, be the I am in each of their lives. Be the I am of what they need today, that they leave here different than they came in these doors, that they know they've been in your presence, they've been where you've been, that everything has changed because you showed up as they've given themselves to you today. Bless them and touch them. Help them pass their way in a special way right now in Jesus' name. The altar is open. Anyone else want to come? The altar is open to come just pray and just ask God to become and be what you need today. So much heaviness we're carrying. So much burden we're carrying. So much discouragement, depression we're carrying. And God wants to lift that off of you. God wants to set you free. God wants to deliver you. God wants to visit you right now. Will you come be a part of His visitation today? Thank you, Jesus. All fear is gone. Thank you, Jesus. Because I know. Holds the future. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Just allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life this morning, church. Just let the Holy Spirit have His way. He knows what you need. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I know. Yes, I know. Holds the future. And life is worth the living just 'cause He lives. Because. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Face tomorrow. He lives. Thank you, Jesus. Fear is gone. Because I know. Thank you, Jesus. Life is worth the living just because He lives. Anyone else before we close the service out, this part? Anyone else want to come pray before we close this part out? Because I know. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hold the future. Life is worth being just because He lives. He lives. All fear is gone. Because
'Cause I know He holds the future. Life is worth living. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Jesus, praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, precious Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Face tomorrow because He lives. All fear is gone because I know holds the future and life is worth living just because He lives. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just be patient, church, and reverent now as people are praying, and give everybody a chance to get what they need today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hold it in. 'Cause He lives. We can face tomorrow because He lives. All fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know, holds the future, and life is worth living just because He lives. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done here this morning, for your presence and for your touch. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We have a great I Am that whatever we come in here this morning with, we know you have helped us. You have healed us. You have done something in our lives we couldn't do by ourselves. Thank you for that. Thank you for your presence. Your Holy Spirit's alive and well now in the earth. And we give you praise and glory that you're still the I Am. In the name of Jesus, we declare and give you honor. Amen.